Well, good morning. Well, all right. Are you glad you're here today? Yeah, I'm glad you're here today. Are you glad you can hear me today? Yeah, okay. Can you all hear me? All right, good. All right, well, hopefully when you came in this morning, you received the bulletin. So take it out. Let's kind of take a look at what's going on today. Right after our morning service, we have Sunday school. And then Tuesday, men, we have leadership team meeting here at 6:30 at the church. Wednesday, we have Joy Bible study here at the church. We're continuing on in our study of the book of Romans. Thursday night is Awana. We're going to play games in the dark. That'll be fun. But they'll have enough light to be able to see what they're doing, so don't worry about their safety. We've got that taken care of. And then Saturday, ladies, at 10 a.m., you have Coffee Connection at the Alchemist, and that's down here on 5 Mile and Overland. And if you live up here in the south part of Boise, you can't take 5 Mile all the way down there. So just keep that in mind, that you might have to take an alternate route for that. Well, you'll notice in the bulletin that we're asking you to wear name tags. And I see some of you have them, but I see a lot of you don't have them on. And I know you have name tags out there on the rack. So we'll give you a minute or two to be able to go out there and get it. If you don't have a name tag and you want one, there's some peel-off ones. And then if you want a name tag, just let Tammy, wave your hand. Let Tammy know or let me know, and we'll make sure that we get one for you. But we have a lot of newer folk coming to Lake Hazel Bible Church. We know them because it's easy for us to remember their name, but it's not easy for them to remember all of ours. And so if you wear your name tag, that'll help them be able to get better acquainted with you. Does that sound good? Sound like a plan? All right. Out on the information table, we have these bookmarks. Some of you may have had them in your bulletin, but we have these bookmarks. They are to help you remember that we have a Bible conference coming up. And the Bible conference, the speakers that are coming are going to be talking to us about some of the parables of Jesus. So it's going to be very, very interesting. We have the schedule lined out. It's on the bookmark. You can use these to help remind you of the Bible conference coming. You can use these bookmarks to help invite somebody to be able to come and be a part of the conference as well. It's going to be here before we know it. It's just about a month away. And so I hope you have it on your calendar. I hope you'll come and join us for as many of the sessions as you can. The conference will run on Saturday as well as on part of Sunday. So if you can come and join us for both days, that'll be really, really be great. Well, this morning we have a very special guest with us today, and I don't usually introduce our guests, but this one I think is okay for me to be able to do. So one of our missionaries that we support as part of our missionary program here at Lake Hazel Bible Church is with us this morning. We have Cassie Wallace with us. So Cassie, come on up here a minute. So we've had the privilege as a church of supporting Cassie for several years. She has a ministry to the deaf in Thailand, and I'm not going to say any more about that because she's going to come after we're done with our worship set, and she's going to share with us her ministry. So we're just so excited for her to be able to be home in Boise and for her to be able to be with us this morning. So that'll be great. You looking forward to that? I know that I am. All right. So you ready to worship? Ready to praise? Ready to say to God how much he means to you and how much you appreciate all that he does for you? That's what this time is about. Let's worship and praise.
Let's go ahead and stand up as we get started here. We're going to sing some songs that I used to sing when I was in high school. Me and the guys hanging out with our guitars. I learned how to play guitar in high school. I know, it was back in the 90s. Crazy, right? Yeah, 1890s, no. So we sang songs like, Lord, I lift your name on high. The Lord reigns. How majestic is your name? So that's what we're going to sing today. So would you join me as we praise and worship our Lord this morning? Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises.
I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life, yeah. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high.
You came from heaven to earth.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Oh Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Come on, praise him with a round of applause. Come on. God is worthy of our praise. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did when you came, showed us the way. You went to the cross on our behalf, and you rose and you're ascended now. Lord, we can't wait to be with you again. How majestic is your name?
Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, we praise your name. Oh Lord, we magnify your name. Prince of Peace, mighty God. Oh Lord, God Almighty. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, we praise your name. Oh Lord, we magnify your name. Prince of Peace, mighty God. Oh Lord, God Almighty.
All right, go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. Just imagine yourself right now sitting around with your friends at Bible study, getting ready to open the Word of God, closing your eyes, lifting your hands, worshiping Jesus, your Savior.
The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. Righteousness and truth are the foundations of your throne. Righteousness and truth are the foundations of your throne. In your presence, Lord, the mountains melt like wax. In your presence, Lord, mountains melt like wax. In your presence, Lord, I bow before your throne. In your presence, Lord, I bow before your throne. I lift my hands and worship you, O Lord.
He is worthy of worship.
I lift my hands and worship you, O Lord. For you are the Lord, most high above the earth. For you are the Lord, most high above the earth. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Oh, let the earth rejoice.
Thank you, Jesus, for what you did at the cross for us. Thank you, God, for giving us mercy and grace. Thank you for making us promises that we can count on. You're worthy of our praise today.
The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And the Lord is good to all, and he has compassion on all that he has made. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And the Lord is good to all, and he has compassion on all that he has made. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. Praise, praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise, praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.
lift him up.
Praise, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord.
We have so much to be thankful for. Come on, lift it up.
Praise, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. As far as east is from the west, that's how far He has removed our transgressions from us. As far as east is from the west, that's how far He has removed our transgressions from us. Praise, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for us.
Praise, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord.
Lord, we could never repay you. We could never give you enough praise for what you've done for us and for who you are. Thank you for separating us from our sin as far as the east is from the west. It's gone. We're new creations in Christ. Lord, thank you. Help us to lean into that, to live our lives for you, because you're worth living for. Lord, we love you. We praise you today. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our usher is going to take this morning's offering. If you're visiting with us, don't feel obligated to give, but give because you want to worship.
The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I shall prepare in my heart. And I shall prepare in my heart. And I shall prepare in my heart. The Lord, He shall reign forever and ever. The Lord, He shall reign forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord is my strength.
The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I shall prepare in my heart. And I shall prepare in my heart. Yes, I shall prepare in my heart. The Lord, He shall reign forever and ever. The Lord, He shall reign forever and ever. Amen.
What a privilege it is for us to be able to be a part of a ministry that is so needful in a part of the world that we don't usually wake up in the morning thinking about what's happening over in that part of the world. What's happening in Asia? What's God doing to be able to, as a church, be able to support a missionary financially, to be able to support a missionary in prayer that is on the front lines of being able to make sure that people who are in this situation to where they can't hear, a language, they can't read because they haven't ever heard the sounds of language. And to be able to take something as important as the most important book ever written and to be able to translate that so that the deaf can be able to have access to that is an amazing thing that God allows us here at Lake Hazel Bible Church to be a part of. Don't you agree? I think that's really wonderful. All right, children, come on down. We'll get you ready for children's church. Hi. How's Tristan today? Doing good? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be able to just come to you and worship. Father, to lift our voices in praise. Father, whether we be children or whether we be adults. And Father, thank you for bringing Cassie to us this morning, for us to be able to hear about this very important ministry that you have called her to. And Father, how blessed we are as a church to be able to be a part of what she is doing and through her what you are doing in Asia, to be able to help deaf people, to be able to know your word, to be able to have access to your word so that their lives can be changed, so that they can come to know you as Savior. And then, Father, we pray, as one of her prayer requests, is that you will send people there to be able to help pastors and help others to be able to disciple those who come to believe in you as Savior, that they may grow, that they may grow to spiritual maturity, just like we have the opportunity here to be able to do that as well. So, Father, I pray that as we spend this time looking into your word, that you will give us what it is that you have for us. Father, give us open ears and open hearts. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right, go and have a good time. While they're being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. And what a blessing it is. It's kind of interesting how God has orchestrated this morning, sending Cassie here on this particular day, because in our study of Acts, we're going to be talking about a church that prays. We're going to be talking about the power of intentional prayer. And Cassie gave us some things as a church to be able to pray for. I hope you wrote those down. She gave you an opportunity to be able to find more out about the things that you can pray for as it relates to the work that God has called her to, the mission that God has asked her to be involved in. We've been talking about in our Bibles, in our study of the book of Acts, about our involvement in God's mission. Our focus and everything that we've been covering in the book of Acts goes back to the mission that God has, not only for the disciples, not only for the early church, but even for us yet today. And Cassie is sitting right here amongst us as one who said a long time ago, I want to be involved in God's mission. She didn't know where. She didn't know how. She didn't really want to be a missionary. But you know what? God said, this is where I want you. This is what I need you to be able to do. Now, our family has had the opportunity to be able to know Cassie for a lot of years. And I've known her and her family for a lot of years. And so when we pray, we need to remember, when we pray for Cassie, we need to remember that she is involved in God's mission. And you know what? Because I've known her family, and because I've known her for so long, she's no different than the rest of us. She's just like us. And she would stand here and she would tell you that same thing, that she's just like us. And so if God could use Cassie in his mission, guess what? God can use us as well. So on our text today, we're going to see what God does when a church prays. Now, I know that you've probably looked at the back of your bulletin and you've seen Pastor has 7 points to his message and you've already looked at the clock. Don't worry. Don't worry. Okay? I'll have you out before lunch. Okay? lunch being 1 o'clock. No, I'm just kidding. So there's a story about a man named Peter Jacek, a believer from the Czech Republic, who was imprisoned in Sudan for 14 months. He served as the Africa Regional Director for Voice of the Martyrs and traveled to Sudan on their behalf. Peter tells about sharing a prison cell surrounded by ISIS fighters who threatened to harm him. In a crowded cell filled with enemies of the gospel, Peter was able to fall asleep every night at 9 p.m. and sleep peacefully until morning. After Peter was released from prison, he went back to his church in the Czech Republic to thank them for praying for him. He was moved to tears when he heard them say, "You know, Peter, we agreed as a church that every night at 8 p.m. we were going to set our phones and watches, and we were going to pray for you in prison in Sudan." Here's the amazing part. 8 p.m. in Prague is 9 p.m. in Sudan. This was the exact time the lights went out, and Peter was able to lay down and get a restful night's sleep. Why? Because the church was praying prayers of intent on Peter's behalf. In our text today, from the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 12, we're going to see how another Peter was also able to sleep when he was in prison because God's people were praying for him. And if you don't take anything else away from this message this morning, take this. God does the unexpected when we are intentional with our prayers. So hopefully you found Acts chapter 9. We're gonna work through some of these verses this morning. The first thing that I want us to understand is that God will use things to be able to bring us to the point of knowing how important it is to pray. God will even use persecution. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. "About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church." We've been talking about in our study of Acts over and over again the oppression and the persecution that was coming to this early church, that was coming to these believers. A few weeks ago, we learned how God uses ordinary people by their growing, by their giving, and by their going with the message of the gospel, all for God's glory. And it's not surprising to see that persecution happens right after this time of ministry. Remember, we've been talking about the fact that when God works, Satan works even harder. And that is so true, as God is even letting his mission continue through us, through people like Cassie, all around the world. So Herod, he decides to arrest Peter. His plan was to hold him in prison until the feast was over and then behead him. Because the Jews would think that it was unrighteous to put someone to death during this 8-day celebration, and it could have created a riot. Look at verse 4. "And when Herod had seized him, he put Peter in prison, delivering him over to 4 squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people." Herod did not like believers because they kept performing disappearing acts. Jesus walked out of a sealed tomb. Paul was delivered out of Damascus in a basket. And just not too long before this, Peter and the other apostles walked out of a prison. Remember that? So to be safe, Herod assigns 4 squads made up of 4 soldiers each to work 6-hour shifts around the clock. 2 of these guards were handcuffed to Peter in the cell, while the other 2 were stationed outside. God will use even persecution to be able to what? Get his church to pray. God also wants us, as his people, to understand there's a need for us to pray. That's the second point if you're keeping notes. People, God's people, need to pray. Look at verse 5. "But earnest prayer for Peter was made to God by the church." When one of their leaders was locked up and placed on death row, the church turned to God. They didn't sit around and try to figure out, how do we get him out of prison? What lawyer do we hire? What judge do we pray that we'll be able to go in front of? How do we do that? Who's going to go on a suicide mission to try to get him out? No, what did they do? The most important thing they could do, the best thing they could do, they came together and they what? Prayed. In the face of overwhelming problems, the church prayed. And they just didn't pray. They prayed earnestly. This word earnest means urgent, unceasing, and diligent. And it was used of an athlete straining and stretching to cross the finish line. One of the things that that Cassie has to do as she is working with these teams to be able to put sign language into the understanding language of those in these Asian countries is to be able to help paint pictures, to be able to help them to be able to understand. Is that right? And the Greek does that for us. This word earnest is the picture of an athlete straining and stretching to cross the finish line. They were earnest in their prayers. While Herod was planning Peter's execution, the church was doing what? Earnestly praying. Herod had all the power of the state. But the believers locked onto the power of heaven through their what? Intentional praying. They were living out what Jesus said in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, where Jesus said they ought always to pray and not lose heart. You know, how many times do we, even as individual believers within the church, how many times do we know that there's prayers that we need to offer up? There's a prayer ministry that we need to be able to do on behalf of someone else, somewhere else. And we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray. And then eventually we what? We just stop praying. We just quit. Folks, God wants us to understand that we don't need to stop praying. We just need to keep praying. Because in His will, in His time, according to His purpose and His plan, and we're going to see that as we get to some of the later verses here in chapter 12, that God has a time. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And we need to just keep praying. That God's going to do what He's going to do. Do you pray earnestly? Do you persist in prayer? God does the unexpected when the church and the believers in the church are intentional in prayer. And when we as a church are intentional in prayer, God's going to do some things. God's going to bring peace. That's point number three. One result of their prayer is found in verse 6. Now, when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was crying. Is that what it says? Peter was wailing and lamenting. Peter was wringing his hands. He was going, "Woe is me. Wait a minute, I didn't sign up for this." No, Peter was what? What was he doing? Sleeping. What? He's going to be put to death the very next morning. He's going to be put to death right after the end of the Passover celebration. And he's what? Sleeping. Imagine that. Peter was sleeping and he's sleeping. Not in a hotel room. Not in a camper. Not in his sleep number bed. He's sleeping where? Between two soldiers. That had to be comfortable. Bound with two chains. That had to be comfortable. And sentries before the door were guarding the prison. In chains between two soldiers. And knowing he was going to be executed in just a short period of time, Peter, what? Fell asleep. Not sure I would have been able to do that. But just like Peter from the Czech Republic, Peter's peace came because he knew that God's people were praying. Cassie probably, as she's over there in Asia and she's doing the work that God has given for her to do, she's involved in God's mission. She has confidence to be able to do it because she knows what? People back home are praying. There are churches that are praying. There's been a church in Boise that's been praying for her for a long time. This one. And perhaps Peter was meditating on Psalm 4:8, where it says, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Peter knew he was in God's hands. Peter knew he was doing what God had asked him to do. Peter knew that he was involved in God's mission, not his own. And so therefore, no matter what, he could what? Sleep. If you struggle to sleep because of stress from the circumstances of life, ask someone to pray for you. Ask someone to pray for you. And God also will display his presence. That's point number four. So after bringing Peter peace in this situation, God sends his presence. Look at verse 7. And behold, I love that word, behold. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the sail. Now the picture behind behold is the idea of suddenly. Peter is sleeping so soundly that the brightness of God's glory doesn't even disturb his sleep. How many of you get disturbed in the middle of the night by just the smallest of noise? I know my wife does. Me, not so much. Her, so much. She hears the littlest things. And then she wakes me up. And then it takes me 10 minutes to get out of the fog to be able to understand what it is she wants me to listen for. And then what it is that maybe I ought to be doing, right? To be able to take care of it. Okay? But Peter, Peter saw the presence of God. And then Peter's deliverance happened under God's power. And that's another thing that happens when we as a church pray. God unleashes his power. Look at verse 34. Look at Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. When you're having trouble sleeping peacefully, remember God's presence is with you and his power is with you. Peter's deliverance happened through God's power. Look at what else it says in verse 7. The angel came and struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his hands. Peter was touched by God's presence. And Peter wasn't just touched by an angel. He was smacked by a heavenly being. Because that word struck means a forceful blow. Man, it's a good thing that Peter didn't just roll over and hit the snooze button, right? And then look at verse 8. The angel gives Peter some clear instructions. He says, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." The angel woke him up and instructed him to get dressed and put his sandals on. Why? They were going on a little trip. And then the angel led him every step of the way. And Peter was told to follow without knowing where he was going. Every part of this situation was under God's control. What a lesson that is for us. Every part of whatever it is that comes into our life is under God's control. Did Peter understand what was going on? I don't think so. I think he was still kind of in that fog, and the angel is saying, "Hey, get up, put your sandals on, get your cloak, wrap it around you, and then follow me." Look at verse 9. Peter obeyed, even though he was still in a fog. Look at verse 9, and he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but he thought he was seeing a vision. Peter was good at seeing visions. Remember the vision of the sheet? Where God said, "Rise up and eat." And Peter said, "I can't, Lord. I've never ate any of that stuff before. I've lived my whole life and never had any of that. And it's unclean." And what did God tell Peter? "Listen, don't you dare call unclean what I'm saying is clean. Go rise up and follow what I've told you to be able to do." Look at what happened next. Look at verse 10. When they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city, and it opened for them of its own accord. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. They got to the iron gate, and the angel reached in his pocket, pulled out the remote, and hit the clicker, right? And the gate just swung open. Think that's what happened? Nope. Nope. Because it was the presence of God, as they got close to this iron gate that led into the city. Remember, prisons were outside the city. So this iron gate led into the city from the area that the prison was in. And as they got to the gate, Peter didn't say, "I don't know if I can climb over that. I'm still in this fog. I'm still trying to figure out what's going on." Nope, the gate just what? opened. And God's power continues to be on display as they easily pass two other guards. The thick iron gate opened on its own. And notice that Peter here is passive during this jailbreak. This is not a Jack Bauer moment where Peter knocks out the guards, sneaks past the security cameras, and kicks down the front gate. Nope. It was all God. All God's power. And notice that as soon as Peter was free, the angel immediately left him. And after the angel leaves, so does the fog. Look at verse 11. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I am sure that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." And then, here's another thing that happens when the church is intentional in its prayers. God will use ordinary people. Listen to what Peter does next. Look at verse 12. When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were what? Praying. Were they wailing? Were they crying? Were they wringing their hands saying, "What are we going to do about Peter? We can't afford to have Peter die. He's such a leader in our church. He's such an important part of our lives. He's an important part of what we're doing here, what God is doing in us and through us. What are we going to do?" What were they doing? Praying, praying, praying. Wow. After considering this amazing release from prison, Peter remembered that the church had gathered to pray. These faithful disciples of God had been up all night praying. And perhaps Peter wanted to show them how God answered their prayers. And what happened next is both humorous and human, because it shows how God uses ordinary people to accomplish his purposes. Look at verse 13. And when Peter knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Now her name Rhoda means rose. And Rose recognized Peter's voice because she had heard him preach before. But look at verse 14. In her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. Get the picture? Peter's here at the gate of the house. And he knocks, and Rhoda comes, and she sees Peter, and Peter speaks to her, and she recognizes Peter's voice. And instead of opening the door and letting him in, she runs in and she says, "Peter's here!" Wow. Can you imagine what that reaction should have been inside that house? I remember that happening to me once when I was an Awana missionary, and I was assigned to cover the Boise area for a period of time. I had a pastor who we started Awana when he was in a church in Newport, Washington. And after starting that church, after a couple of years, he moved down here to Boise to take a church. So the first trip that I made down here to Boise has the official Awana missionary for the Boise area. I went to his house and I knocked on the door. And his wife, Judy, comes to the door. And she sees me and she goes, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "I'm now your Awana missionary. And I've come to see if maybe you and Jim would like to start Awana at Second Baptist." And she went, "Just a minute." And she closes the door. I'm standing on the porch. She closes the door. And I can kind of see a little bit. And she runs to the phone and she picks up the phone. This was before cell phones. She picked up the phone and she talks. And I can hear her saying, "Jim, you'll never believe who's standing on our front porch. Yeah, Sam Tremaine. Well, he says he's now our Awana missionary. And he's come to see if we want to start Awana at Second Baptist." "Oh, okay." So she hangs up the phone. She comes to the door and she says, "Jim is on his way home. He's at the office. It won't take him very long to get here. Oh, by the way, Jim said, don't keep him on the front porch. Let him come into the house. So Sam, come on in." But Rhoda was so excited. She quickly ran to communicate the good news that Peter was outside. And you would think that these prayer partners would rejoice at this news. But guess what? They were skeptical. But Rose kept insisting that it was Peter. She kept saying, "It's Peter." They kept saying, "Can't be. He's in prison. No, Peter's out there. No, Peter's in prison. No, he's not out there. Maybe it's his ghost. No, Peter is really standing out there. And Peter continued knocking, and when they all came to the door and they saw him, they were amazed. Then Peter explained what God did. Rosie left Peter outside the door, and the believers didn't believe God answered their intentional prayers. This reminds me of the church that called a prayer meeting to ask God to send rain to end a terrible drought. Only one person came with an umbrella. You know, people all the time say to me, Pastor, I've been praying about this, and you won't believe what God did. Really? You've been praying, and you don't believe what God did? Cassie, how many times have you been praying as you've been serving as a missionary, and God answered that prayer? How many? Probably too many for you to be able to remember, right? When the church prays with intentional prayers, guess what? God works. God unleashes his presence and God unleashes his power. Because, this is point number 7, God's purpose and plan will prevail. God's purpose and plan will prevail. And we as a church get the privilege of praying that God's will, God's purpose, God's plan will prevail. No matter what circumstances come our way, God always accomplishes his purpose and plans. And we get to pray and ask God to be able to make sure that his purposes and plans are carried out. So, what are you supposed to learn from this morning? Well, let me just give you a few things. Prayer is not an empty ritual. God hears our prayers. God answers our prayers. Now, you need to remember that God doesn't always answer our prayers when we want him to answer our prayers. He doesn't always answer our prayers the way that we want him to answer our prayers. God will sometimes say yes when we pray. We like that. Sometimes God will say no. We don't like that, but we can live with that because we know God has a purpose and a plan. Sometimes when we pray, God just says, wait. Yeah, we don't like that. We don't like to wait for anything. Or anybody. I know. You go to a restaurant and you have to wait a little bit to get seated. Oh, you get a little bit out of sorts, don't you? And then you wait for a little bit for the server to come. Oh, you get a little bit out of sorts. Why? Because we don't like to wait. Oh, and then it takes a little while for your meal to come and you get a little bit out of sorts. Why? Because we don't like to wait. We don't like it when God says wait. But in the waiting, God is doing his working. Just got to remember that. In the waiting, God is doing his working. And then sometimes God just says, you know what? My grace is all you need. My grace is all you need. No, I would rather you say yes, God. I know that you have a lot of grace, and I know that you're willing to give me the amount of grace that you know that I need, but can I have a yes? Can I have a no? Please don't tell me to wait more. But sometimes in the waiting, we have to understand that God is what? Doing the working. And sometimes his working just means trust me. Trust me. Prayer is not an empty ritual. Prayer helps us grow to spiritual maturity. Prayer brings God's power into our involvement in God's mission. Prayer brings God's blessing to our church, our ministries, and our missionaries. I hope as you have opportunity this morning to be able to visit with Cassie, get one of her prayer cards, put it in a place to where you will remember to pray for her. Sign up for her newsletter. And if you don't want to do that, her newsletter, every month when it comes, is posted out here on the bulletin board just outside the sanctuary doors. So you can just go by and read it. And every newsletter that she sends out every month has a list of things for us to pray for. What an opportunity. Prayer brings God's blessing to our church, our ministries, and our missionaries. Father, I pray that you'll help us to be a praying church. And Father, may we not just pray casually. Father, may we just not pray as though it's a spiritual obligation. Father, may we be a people Father, may we be a church of Lake Hazel Bible Church that prays for our church, that prays for our ministries, that prays for our missionaries. And may we pray intentional prayers. As we're involved in your mission and as our missionaries who we are blessed to be able to support are involved in your mission as well. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with me for this last song?
Oh Lord, you are my guiding light. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Your ways, they are my heart's delight. I will follow you faithfully. In the darkest night, you shine much brighter. You are the light of the world. When I lose my sight, you are my shepherd. You lead me back to your side. Oh Lord, you are my guiding light. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Your ways, they are my heart's delight. I will follow you faithfully. In the darkest night, you shine much brighter. You are the light of the world. When I lose my sight, you are my shepherd. You lead me back to your side. Oh Lord, you are my guiding light. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Your ways, they are my heart's delight. I will follow you faithfully. I will follow you faithfully.
We'll see you at Sunday school in just a few minutes.